Thank you for joining us again today. We are Inspiring Better Business, helping you to start, grow, and fix your businesses. Today, we are examining part two of the law of generosity. First, let's establish why we are generous. And our foundation comes from the fact that God's Word commands us to live generously. We are blessed and have been blessed to be given more than we deserve and more than we could ever repay. Life itself is a gift to each of us, a gift from God. Realizing these gifts came from God, our first appropriate action is to give back to Him. Give back to Him as a measurable recognition of His providence. God gives us some guidance on giving our first 10% of what we spend to run our household. We call that the tithe. And most of the time, it is given to our local church where we are fed spiritually. Micah 3:10 says it this way, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." Now we can expect to be led by God to occasionally give an offering above and beyond the tithe, which is an additional love gift. This law of generosity has to be linked with all the other laws of God's laws for business who pull you towards success. And it doesn't take much study to realize that God is a generous God. Let's examine this a little more. What does godly generosity look like and what does it not look like? We are not called to always give away everything that we have. Jesus did not. He had a treasury. It was a purse with money in it to cover he and his disciples' expenses. There may be an occasion where you feel like God is asking you to give a large amount of money away. First, you need to be sure that God is actually speaking to you. And secondly, if you are married, you and your spouse must both agree it is God's will. The Bible makes it clear that there is wisdom in having a savings account or some kind of financial reserve. This is your safety net, also called your emergency fund. And there's things that come up unexpectedly. These are not always bad. It's just part of the cycle of life. And we should set aside money and build this emergency fund before you consider giving your offerings. God is not a God that's going to take from your family. He wants to provide, and that reserve is there to help. God will always honor and hear a pure heart that is led by faith. That's our objective, to get closer to God. Most of the time, your offerings should come from your surplus, whereas your tithes should be a part of your regular budget and not be based on having a surplus, but based on what it takes for you to live in your home. And remember, this whole discussion is based on a long-range pattern of your life being lined up with God's will. When we study the life of Jesus and know more about Him on this earth, you can see that His faith was not based on a poverty mindset. You never hear that in the scriptures. And God knows about us. He knows where we're at and what we have, and He knows what we need. So we can rest in this. It's so comforting. God's law of generosity comes from a pure heart and is never forced by emotional or social pressures. If you find yourself in a situation where you are being pressed to give, a good test is to sleep on it. Wait 24 hours or more and look deeper into the request to understand what's going on. What's the true need? What's the motives behind the request? What are the potential issues that come, and what are the expectations that come along with giving your gift? Consider this law of generosity as it works in harmony with the law of growing step by step. As your finances stabilize and your personal finances get stronger, your business should grow step by step, then just consider increasing your levels of giving that coincide with your growth. Now we've talked about giving to God and maybe to God's work, but how should we show godly generosity to others? Generosity is a mindset determined by your heart and not by how much money or resources that you might have to give. It's not all about the dollar amount. It's not all about the quantity. It's from the heart. Where and how you currently spend your time and money does indicate your current mindset, so you can be a judge. Your current mindset not only impacts your present situation, but it also sets the stage for the future generations of your family. If you come from a poverty family, it's time to change that mindset and break the cycle of poverty in your household. Let's dig deeper into the four major mindsets that was discussed in the last session when Mama Luna was training and looking at the future mindset of her four boys. Now, Andrew, he had a mindset of poverty. And in our story, Andrew was the one that would take the money and hoard it, not being willing to share. Excessively conservative was the way he lived life. And with every piece of money he had, he held on to it tightly. He held not only to his money, but to his time and to anything he had, like his business knowledge. He was not willing to share with anyone because he was a hoarder. A mindset like this would be one that believes that the only resources that the person actually has is all that he will ever have and will all he will ever get. And he'll hold on to it with two of his hands as tight as he can. It's kind of like having a bowl full of goodies and there's a limit. And I'm constantly thinking, how can I get my share and maybe a little more? Maybe there's a bowl of candy treats in front of you. And you must put all that you can in your pocket, not letting other people know and holding on to it so that others don't enjoy. Having a poverty mindset will eventually roll into the fact that you're thinking other people that are blessed are evil. And how do they get their abundance? And you're not happy for them. And it tries to get as much as possible when things are free, like it's mine, and always looking for the free things. This mindset has a limited view of God's ability to bless. And it has a limited understanding of the desire of God to be a blessing to his children. It's a horrible way to go through life, yet many people follow this mindset of poverty, lack, and insufficient funds. And it's not believing that God is really pulling for them and will help them in every situation. Now, somewhat of an opposite mindset from the person is thinking in poverty has just total uncontrollable generosity, giving away things without thinking about it. Ezekiel was the son that had that mindset. He had some lunch money and regularly gave his money away at the first part of the week, and then he was out of money. This happens to some Christian adults. They're too loose with their money. They're too liberal with their money, and they're out of control giving and spending for others. This is dangerous, and it can cause heartache in a family. A person with uncontrolled generosity many times has emotional reasons, and this can lead to insufficiency in the family, and the children will start resenting this. I've seen it happen. Now, Jesus did not respond to every need that he became aware of. Instead, he was mindful and intentional with his own resources of time, money, and energy. An additional danger is that the person receiving the money can develop an entitlement mindset. This is dangerous. It creates a cycle of dependency for the recipient that is always needing the giver to give money. This is seen and done not only in families, but in countries and continents and cultures. We must break this cycle. We must understand God's provision has no favorites, and we're all entitled to it as we learn and grow and mature in the law of generosity. Now, in our earlier story, Mama Luna's third son was Micah, and his mindset was a mindset of self-centered generosity. This is a mindset that says, I will give in order to get something back from you. It's never a gift. It's always a business deal. This can come into play when somebody even gives their tithes and offerings. They're bargaining with God, saying, I gave to you, now it's your turn to give back to me. That's not the way God works. God wants us to give freely, and he's prepared to give freely when we have the right mindset. Now, we do the same thing with people, not actually just giving a gift with no expectation of something in return. A true gift would be giving something anonymously so that the person didn't know who gave it to them. And there's no way for that person ever then to give back to the giver. And God will bless us that way if we set that mindset into motion. And taking this a little farther, we sometimes see someone that really wants public recognition and see how important they are and high a status they have and applause from everyone, acknowledging this great gift they gave. Well, this is not the God kind of giving we want to learn. Your record of giving cannot be used to force God or others into blessing your life. It just won't work. Well, the fourth mindset was more along the godly line of generosity. It was the youngest of the family, Joseph, and he had the right idea that giving was a tool and that money was a tool and that we're not actually even handling that tool. We don't even own it. We're handling God's money. This is a profile of godly giving. Thoughtful and intentional giving of your resources like time, like money, like energy, like knowledge, with no expectation of receiving something in return. And it should be led by God and not led by emotions. And we should start with what we have. Do not wait until you have a big amount to give. It's the little amount that starts you down the right path. And we are called to be managers of God's money. It's not really our money. And He has given it into our hands and trusted us with it. I was raised on a wheat farm, and I knew that if we planted wheat, then we were going to harvest wheat. If we planted something else, like corn, we would harvest corn. So if we sow in true generosity, we will receive back true generosity. But if we sow a scarcity mindset, then we will reap scarcity. It's like planting a seed. But if we start sowing the right seeds now, the seeds of godly generosity, of time, knowledge, energy, and money, then your harvest will soon come in God's timing. As we pursue the kingdom of God around the world, we should realize that the greatest demonstration of generosity is not to give a huge gift. Instead, it is to help others build a lifelong, ever-increasing stream of provision. Just like a good parent raising their child, the most valuable thing that a parent can do is to teach them how to provide for themselves. That's what we're all about. That's what we want from you, not anything back to us, but the provision in your life that honors God and is a great testimony to others. We've learned a lot from Mama Luna and her sons. Let's not let these teaching points pass us by, but apply them in our own lives. One way we can do this is by asking ourselves a few questions and discussing these questions with others. First, their story gave us some great examples of the main generosity mindsets that we all have. Most of us can identify with one of the sons' mindsets. Now discuss it. Which one did you find yourself identifying with the most, and why? And secondly, it's important to remember that your current mindset on money and generosity will be passed down to those who look up to you. Are you happy at the thought of your mindset being copied by others like your children, your nieces, your nephews, your friends, and others? Think about it. We've got some life-changing teaching points in the next lesson, so be sure to stay connected with us and cash in on these lessons. Until then, remember to use what you have to start, grow, and fix your business today. Thanks for being a part of Inspiring Better Business.